This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, not for nothing, these attacks on the ICE agents. It is my opinion that if one of these scumbags is throwing giant rocks, trying to break your window and hit you in the head with a giant rock, ICE agents ought to be authorized to use deadly physical force to prevent the rock from being launched. Deadly physical force needs to be authorized by the President of the United States, if he can so do, or use the influence of the executive office to make sure that nobody is prosecuted, and perhaps a law could be put through regarding civil litigation as well. It's just disgusting what is happening with our ICE agents under attack everywhere. Every day, another video of these miscreants who are taking liberties with the ICE agents. And I'll say it again, if somebody's about to throw a giant rock that could go through your window and hit you in the head, that to me is an expression that they are using deadly physical force against you, and you as the victim or would-be victim ought to be allowed preemptively to use deadly physical force against the person. See how quickly the rock throwing stops. See how quickly it stops. Time to bring the cockroaches out of the shadows. Maybe they'll have big marches and rallies after that happens. But it's just, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And I'm so glad to see ICE doing what it is doing. And I'm so disgusted to see the scumbags doing what they're doing. Speaking of scumbags, hey, it's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thanks very much. I appreciate you being here. So the cartoon. Mention it in passing the other day, but I think we need to talk about the cartoon just a little bit, okay? Because it is something about which many people are talking, not just here in Western New York. I want to be careful with that. We're talking around the country. People are talking about this. Didn't Glenn Beck put it up on his program? And it is, you know, I want to say his name, but part of me doesn't want to say his name because I kind of think that part of this is kind of like a child crying for attention, and maybe he would want me to use his name. So I'll tell you what, I'm not going to use his name. Use a little bit of reverse psychology. Maybe next I'll threaten him with the strap. We did the show on discipline the other day. It's not a threat. I'm just referencing a program we did and doing a segue. Thank you. But the cartoon itself made its ignominious debut on Monday, hours after people were killed by horrible flooding in Texas. And what the cartoon shows, let's see, it shows a guy holding up a sign as he is engulfed in a raging river being washed down sea. What are the elements of the cartoon? Well, we know that the cartoon is set in Texas because there is a half-submerged sign saying Texas. We know that the guy who's being washed downstream is a Trump supporter because even amidst the gorge-like water, he is wearing a MAGA hat, which apparently was stitched to his head, but it says MAGA on it. And he's holding in his outstretched hands, which should be paddling, he's holding a sign that says government is the problem. And I want to know what message you took from that cartoon, because cartoons are open to interpretation, just like any other body of work or any other bit of art, if you will. It is a subjective thing in many cases. What was the message that was trying to be communicated by the cartoonist in that situation? What is the message? Because the message that I got from the cartoon was the people who died deserved it because they were Trump supporters. That's the message I got. And actually, if you look at the statistics, a lot of the first-time voters in the state of Texas, a vast majority of them, went for Donald Trump. So it is true in terms of people who had never voted before, who showed up in 2024, they tended to vote Trump, as opposed to Florida, for example, which was more 50-50 among first-time voters. Now, I went to the... The message I got from the cartoon was the people who died deserved to die in a natural, not a man-made, but a natural disaster because they're MAGA people and they voted for Trump. Are there other interpretations that I may be missing in this situation? Am I missing something? Am I totally off the wall here in my interpretation of this cartoon? Or is that what you walked away with as well? Now, the Society of Professional Journalists, I've not heard anybody raise this point yet, but I'll raise it. The Society of Professional Journalists is an organization, as you might imagine, of professional journalists. And I asked if they had a guideline or a policy of ethics specifically for cartoonists, and they do not. But some of the basic guidelines would be these core tenets of the Society of Professional Journalists: seek truth and report it. Oh, minimize harm. Huh. Act independently. Be accountable and transparent. So let's see. There are four key tenets of the Society of Professional Journalists. Did the Buffalo News and the cartoonist in this cartoon minimize harm? Or did they basically rub sand into a festering blister of pain, hurt, and human suffering? I'm going to go with the second part of that. The other thing is, be accountable and transparent. Have they been accountable and transparent? Have they done any explaining whatsoever? Have they done anything to try to tell people that, well, it's not really what you think, really. We're not saying that people who voted for Trump deserve to die in the flight. You're off the wall. That's just a wrong interpretation. And personally, I think it's absolutely disgusting. And if you could take a left-wing sacred cow, if a, like, for example, you know, maybe not human life, but something else, the environment, and you had a cartoon that was poking fun at something which the left holds sacred, there would be all hell to pay in social media and protests and doxing and swatting and everything else. And this whole situation of editorial cartoons. Now, first of all, I don't know that the Buffalo News is as important or as relevant as it used to be. It used to be a monster, baby. It used to generate, when Buffett first owned it, $1 million a week in revenue. You ever see Murray Light's tomb in Forest Lawn? The thing is an edifice, really. Like, I guess he couldn't get a pyramid on sale because he's got the next best thing. Looks like the ruins of Ephesus. But $1 million a week from Buffalo to the rich guy. And way back in the day, okay, there was an editorial cartoonist who actually came on my show back in the 1980s, and he also won a Pulitzer Prize, as did this clown. Or should I say, do I put the one word in front of clown or just leave it as clown? Except clowns are funny. I ate a clown once. It tasted funny. But anyway, there was an editorial cartoonist. His name was Tom Tolles. Tom Tolles would leave this guy in the dust in terms of talent, ability, and, by the way, I would dare say, tact. Now, Tom Tolles was a very prolific cartoonist in Buffalo. He went on to a major newspaper and great national acclaim. I don't remember. Do you remember Tom Tolles doing anything like this, where he would basically say, a natural disaster has taken place, people died, but they deserved it because they were MAGA people? Well, that's the message I get out of it. Maybe you got a different message out of the cartoon. Tom Tolles didn't do that. And there's something else. What is a cartoon supposed to be? Remember when you were a kid? Maybe even now. Many of you watch The Simpsons, Family Guy, whatever. I'm just kind of curious. What is a cartoon? A cartoon is supposed to do what? It's supposed to make you laugh a little bit, even if it's on a serious subject. It is designed to make you think. It is designed to poke fun at the powerful. Was a cartoon. Thomas Nast, way back when, in the 1800s, he was a very famous cartoonist in New York City who was instrumental with his cartoons poking fun at Boss Tweed and his minions of Tammany Hall, the political organization in New York City, affiliated very much with the gangs of New York, I might add. And it's actually in the movie by Scorsese. But his cartoons were courageous, because he was poking fun at some real powerful people. And these people, like Boss Tweed in New York, they weren't just powerful politically. They had street muscle, too. Okay? Thomas Nast, don't know if he ever got any death threats, but it wouldn't surprise me. He had some serious cojones. He really did stand up to power. And he really did speak truth to power. And he put himself on the line to do it. But some of his stuff is really funny. Tom Tolles who also is definitely a left-wing guy. Tom Tolles, I don't remember any cartoon he drew that actually said a group of people deserved a fate because they think and vote a certain way. And Tom Tolles used to have these very exaggerated caricatures of President Reagan with the giant hair. He used to make fun, Tom Tolles did, of the Star Wars program, the missile defense program way back when, and a whole bunch of other things that were real big anti-Reagan things back in the 1980s. And a lot of people got really upset at Tom Tolles because he was on the left and Ronald Reagan was a popular president, and he even won New York State in 1984. But I don't remember Tom Tolles ever mocking powerless people who thought a certain way because they had died in a natural disaster. And the cartoon even doesn't make sense on its surface because the National Weather Service put out watches and warnings, and plenty of watches and warnings in the hours leading up to the catastrophes of last weekend. It's not as though the government wasn't doing its job because of big, bad, evil orange man. No, maybe. And David Bellavia talked about this earlier this week. Maybe people are just watched and warninged out. Okay, could that possibly be? And think back to the blizzard of 2022. Joe Beamer brought this up today. The blizzard of 2022. Andy Parker and other meteorologists talked about the incoming blizzard days before it happened on this radio show, okay? It was huge, and everybody knew it was coming. Hey, when I get to work at about 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, it's going to be bad. And I knew it was going to be bad, and I just barely made it in. People knew or should have known it was coming. The government did its job. Of course, Biden was president then. How come they didn't do a cartoon about Joe Biden being a mental tomato, or would that be a cherry tomato, in the White House and letting people die in the Buffalo blizzard because government was unable to stop a natural disaster, the blizzard of 2022 in Buffalo? How come we didn't have a cartoon about the 30 people in Buffalo dying? Maybe holding up a sign, Joe Biden is fully conscious. We didn't see that, did we? Would that have been appropriate? Do you think that this cartoon is appropriate? Number one. Would you have approved it if you were the superior to the cartoonist at the Buffalo News? Would you have said, you know what? This cartoon meets muster. This passes quality control. This is the hill on which we want to die. In fact, we're not even going to die on it because it didn't really rankle us that much. We're going to print it and we're going to put it in several days in a row. Would you have allowed the cartoon to be published? And I can tell you with 100% certainty that there have been topics that, let's just say, we're a little bit risque, maybe a little bit controversial, but don't get the idea it was censorship, because it wasn't, because my brain works in weird ways, that I was told no to. No, you can't, you don't do that. It's not a good look for the radio station. It's not a good sound for the radio station. I have people above me who want to know what I'm going to be talking about each and every day, because ultimately they are responsible as my superior officers in media for the content of the program. I don't think that's fair. I think I should be the one responsible, but they like to know what I'm doing. And there have been some topics I brought up that have been nixed. And no, it's not what you're probably thinking. And I understand why they've been nixed. And again, it certainly wasn't censorship for any reason. It had more to do with decency than anything else. Okay, there we go. Furthermore, I would say that, think about the media. Talked about this with Joe Beamer earlier. There was a Buffalo radio station, and an on-air host made a certain comment about females of a certain ethnicity. Not only did that host lose his job, his boss lost the job. And I'm thinking to myself, at the Buffalo News, if I were running the paper, what would I do with this cartoonist? And what would I do with the person who actually okayed it, who thought, oh yeah, this is fine, sure, they voted for Trump, they deserve to die in a natural disaster. Okay, that's good. Because let's get back again to the Society of Professional Journalists, the four key tenets. Two of them, have they been violated? Do no harm. And transparency. Transparency. Well, if we read the top four tenets of the Society of Professional Journalists, and two of them appear to have been violated in this case. That's not me. That's the Society of Professional Journalists speaking. I'm simply interpreting what they have said. This doesn't pass muster with ethics as established by real journalists. And I'm not a real journalist. I'm a talk show host. There is a difference. By the way, WBEN Arthur Pressman traffic attorney time is coming up on 3:25. And I want your telephone calls on this because I have brought it up. David has talked about it. Joe has brought it up. The financial guys brought it up and kind of think that we need to get into this a little bit. And I guess the first question is, now that I've described it, and again, the cartoon itself is clearly set in Texas. It has a sign that says Texas in it, so that was a dead clue. And it shows a man in a MAGA hat being washed downstream in the flooding, holding up a sign, government is the problem. And, well, that's the text in the cartoon. I don't want to be too complicated here for you. But the message I walked away after having seen that I walked away with was, well, I guess what he's saying here is people who voted for Trump deserve to die in the flooding in the Guadalupe River. Okay, that's kind of mean. I think that does harm. I really do. I think that does harm. Certainly emotional harm to innocent people, not public figures, just innocent people trying to go about their business, go to camps and what have you. What was the message with which you came away? That's number one. Number two, what message would you convey to the people at the local newspaper about the cartoon? And does the local newspaper even matter anymore? Or did they lose you a long time ago? And frankly, we've done shows on this in the past, and they have lost a lot of people over the years. I would tell you that very few people I know actually subscribe to or take the newspaper because it just ceased being relevant to them. It basically is seen by many people as the newspaper propaganda arm of the Democrat Party, in particular, the Democrat Party of Erie County. And that's it. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Is that the message with which you came away from the cartoon in the Buffalo News? What is your message in return to the Buffalo News? I mean, it's pretty nasty. I must say. It's one thing if it's a public figure, but even if it's a public figure, you're not going to do a cartoon basically saying, yeah, they deserve to die because they believed in X, Y, and Z. Really? And these are just innocent schnooks going about their day, and they got killed. Children, too. Unbelievable. Anyway, so the Buffalo News has spoken loud and clear here by, I guess, not speaking loud and clear. What is your message speaking loud and clear to the news about this cartoon? And had this been a local radio station with similar content, I feel safe in saying that not only would the on-air talent have been fired, but the supervisor who permitted it would be fired. That's the way this business operates. Because we're, I think, more accountable. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
All right, so the cartoon in the local newspaper getting national attention. Don't think it makes Buffalo look good, quite frankly, but it's called Swept Away. And you know it's in Texas because you see the half-submerged sign which says Texas Kerr County. So you know it's in Texas, and you know it's about the flooding of last weekend. Dude wearing a MAGA hat being washed downstream, holding up a sign that says help, and he's saying government is the problem, not the solution. What message do you take away from that cartoon? I absolutely took away the message, oh, these people deserved it because they voted for Trump? They were MAGA people? Okay, that's an assumption, number one. Number two, that's just mean. That's just wrong. And it really does not pass the ethics tests of the Society of Professional Journalists. So it's not just me, it's people who are actually journalists. And I'm not a journalist. I'm just an idiot with a mic. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Here is Fred in Lancaster. Fred, hello.
Yes, Tom. I believe the news has once again set the bar very low on decency. And I'm kind of like one of those guys, fight fire with fire. Get as provocative as them. Go to their level. And when they criticize you, you bring back, you did this first. I mean, it's always the Democrats that always are smart enough to take the first shots and get the advantage. And it seems like the Republicans are always responding. And maybe just get as provocative. There was a top shooting that could have been definitely taken advantage of. But, you know, maybe things like that, maybe things like the.
But, you know, I beg to differ with you because some things are just not funny. People dying in a flood, not funny. A natural disaster. People dying in a man-made disaster, a mass murder, that is not funny. There's nothing funny there. You can't make it funny.
Well, somehow he's trying to do it, being provocative, and I know what you're saying. Criticizing him is only, I think the Buffalo News is only going to respond by just doubling down on their thing. Sometimes someone needs to be treated very rudely to understand how rude they are, and they should be attacked. The news should be attacked every time they criticize anything that they feel is not decent, because they're the ones that are putting out the garbage that they're putting out. So, I mean, maybe when they're hypocritical, they should be criticized a little more, but sometimes people got to be provocative back. And then you go, well, you did that first. You hit first. I'm just responding.
You know, there's a whole bunch of key ethical questions for cartoonists, and one of them I think is very important. Is it punching up at power or down at the vulnerable? Clearly, this is punching down at vulnerable people who either died, were seriously hurt, or who lost loved ones, including children, what, because they voted for Donald Trump?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or thinks they voted for Donald Trump?
Why. Yes.
I mean, that's just, political. I mentioned Thomas Nast earlier. He punched up at power, at great harm and peril to himself. This guy in the news is punching down at dead people and seriously injured people. That's just so wrong.
It is, and you could see it in the news. Is they don't even make the papers here anymore. There's been holidays where you don't even get a paper. So I mean, they are suffering for their stance, but I don't think they're suffering enough. But maybe when they criticize, when someone's provocative like Trump, they got to look in the mirror themselves and realize they've done the same, if not worse. And they're supposed to be neutral. Trump isn't supposed to be neutral. The press is supposed to be unbiased. So, I mean, they're even worse in this whole thing.
I'm afraid that ship left the dock a long time ago. Don't count on that ever being reality. But as far as the newspaper, what message would you give to the newspaper? Because
I don't know what
they're thinking.
I say keep doing. I want them to fail miserably. Unlike a lot of people want, everyone's got to say, no, I want them to fail. Keep doing that. Please keep putting out the garbage that you're putting out. Keep, because you're turning people off. The average person is getting turned off. Yeah. Okay. You're playing to your 20% of the population in Western New York that love seeing that. And they're going to love what that guy puts in the paper every single time. News is going to suffer. They're suffering already. In 20 years, they're not even going to be around.
Yeah, you want to stay with that 20 years, or would you like to move that up just a little bit?
Oh, if I had a time machine, I would do it. I don't know. I was just throwing a ballpark figure out.
I would move that up considerably.
I would go for 20 days.
That might be a little soon, but somewhere between the two, closer to the 20-day thing, I think you might be accurate. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. The cartoon in the Buffalo News, what message was it trying to convey? What did you walk away with? The swept away cartoon, the Texas floods, Kerr County, help, MAGA hat, government is the problem, not the solution. I walked away after looking at that thinking, I guess he's saying that people voted for Trump and they're MAGA people, so they kind of deserve to die because they're dying for what they believed in, which doesn't even make any sense, because the government National Weather Service put out lots of watches and warnings. I'm not connecting facts here. Is it factually accurate? I think not. Oh, that's another question of the Society of Professional Journalists. Does the cartoon distort facts beyond fair satire? Yes, it does. because government did what it was supposed to do. The Weather Service did what it was supposed to do, as it did before the blizzard in Buffalo. And where was the cartoon in the Buffalo News about the 30 people who died? What, because they voted for Biden, who has the mental capacity of a cucumber or zucchini? 803-0930, star 930. I don't mean to pick on vegetables from the garden. And 1-800-616-WBEN, John of Lancaster. Ooh, it's very Shakespearean. John of Gaunt on WBEN.
Hello, how are you today?
Yes, sir.
Hello, how are you today? So, number one rule with cartoons, it's kind of like comedy, like comic. It's supposed to be funny, and he failed miserably at that. That was not funny. So he should lose his job just for that alone.
Well, I wouldn't go
he
that
was
far,
right about
but,
government. Government is the problem. They are too big. We all know that. And Donald Trump's trying to shrink the government.
Well, I mean, everybody has talked about government being part of the problem because of its profligate spending and basically taxing and everything like that. But as far as a cartoon is supposed to be funny, let's just start with that premise for just a moment. Can you think of anything funny about 100 or more people losing their lives, including children? Is there anything remotely humorous or chuckle-worthy about that? I don't think so.
Nothing whatsoever. He wasn't even on the same planet when he wrote that. Let's hope that he was under the influence of alcohol or something else and made a big mistake, and then all his editors were at the same party and had too much to drink or something, and it slid by him. We'll give him a hall pass.
Well, now I got to tell you something, that being intoxicated is not a defense in a criminal case in New York, and it really is not a defense in a case of public opinion and perception. Even if he said, or somebody said, yes, I was under the influence, there's no way that's going to fly. I mean, people are going to buy that.
But it did. On another note, Tom, this is John from the Mary Kay party. The last time we talked, apparently I swore. I apologize to you and all your listeners and everyone with the station. I don't know. It slipped out. It won't happen again, I promise you.
I appreciate that. You have no idea the things I'd like to say every day. I'd like to use the Trump bomb on a regular basis, but the FCC would frown upon that. It's frowned upon.
It slipped. I'm sorry.
Okay, understood. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much, John of Lancaster. All right, there is John from Lancaster, who got through our conversation without dropping one of these seven dirty words. Always a good thing to do. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. I mean, I don't know if this has been beaten to death or not, or I don't know how many of you actually think the Buffalo News is even relevant and comment worthy anymore. There was a time where if the local newspaper bashed you, ganged up on you, did a hit piece on you, it was the beginning of the end of your life and your professional career. Now it's almost like, okay, let's just recognize the Buffalo News for what it is. It's the mouthpiece of the Democrat Party, specifically the Democrat Party of Erie County. They are clearly intent on making people on the right look bad and people on the left look good. Mark Poloncarz gets a coverage regarding his nuptials. I didn't say nipples. Regarding his nuptials in the newspaper. What did Stefan Mihailu get? Did you hear the financial guys earlier talking about that? It is a very biased partisan paper. It is as far biased on the left as Der Stürmer was on the right back in Germany back in the day. And I don't think that's even much of an overstatement, frankly. But the thing is, and I just haven't heard people bring this up, I went to the Society of Professional Journalists and did a little search, did a little background digging, and I thought, you know what, I'm biased here. I'm maybe not the best person to judge the Buffalo News. So let's just see objectively what the Society of Professional Journalists has to say. There is no standard, per se, for editorial cartoons, but they do, at the Society of Professional Journalists, they do have guidelines. Okay, for journalists who are engaged in any kind of journalism whatsoever. And some of the ethical questions for cartoonists that I came across, does the cartoon distort facts beyond fair satire? Well, let's see. One of the lines in the cartoon is, government is the problem, not the solution. Well, exactly what point is being made here? Because the government agency in place worked as it was supposed to work. The National Weather Service is blameless in this. Number two, is it punching up at power or down at the vulnerable? I would say when you write a cartoon or you draw a cartoon that punches at people who are dead or dying and their dead or dying children, that's punching down, okay? Oh, here's one. Could it incite hate or reinforce harmful stereotypes? Well, here's a guy in his red MAGA hat floating down the river saying government is the problem, not the solution. I dare say that that might be interpreted as reinforcing a negative stereotype. There is just nothing good about this cartoon. And as one of our people said, it's not just the cartoonist in question, whose name I am assiduously avoiding saying, because to me, this is like a kid crying for attention. And if you give him attention, he kind of wins. So the best thing I'm going to do is just ignore his name. I'll name the newspaper, but I'm not going to name the cartoonist. I'll name other cartoonists. Tom Tolles, very left wing, but also very funny and very talented. And he was not hateful at those who were not in a position of power. And he kind of pulled his punches a little bit on Ronald Reagan as well. And I'm sure, I know that Tom Tolles was not a big fan of Ronald Reagan. But that was kind of before the Buffalo News completely lost its head and its mind and its soul, sold it to Satan for 30 pieces of silver, whatever. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Did Tom just make a biblical reference? My goodness, what's coming next? Anyway, we will take your telephone calls on WBEN. What is your message for the Buffalo News about this cartoon? What would you like to tell the Buffalo News? What would you say to the cartoonist? Now, look, nobody should be threatened, but I got to tell you, frankly, if you are in a public position, if you are a public figure, you know what? You're going to get death threats. I mean, I've got them over the years. I got one right before I did a remote. GM said, do you want to do the remote? I said, hell yeah. So I did the remote anyway, and I'm still here. 803-0930. I don't take him seriously. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And I don't know if this topic has been beaten to death or not, but it's something that I really have not explored too much, and it is getting national attention, okay? And I will tell you that it's not really getting positive national attention. This is this cartoon by the Buffalo News cartoonist is it's red meat for people who think the left has lost its mind. And I do believe the left has absolutely lost its mind. And it is absolutely irrational. And it is seriously going through some Trump derangement syndrome. I think the Buffalo News has a very bad case of Trump derangement syndrome. And you know it's bad when they take the focus away from Donald Trump and turn it to people who are not in positions of power or influence. We're just ordinary Joes and Jills or Jose's and Juanita's, whatever the case may be, who are just going about their lives, who may or may not be MAGA supporters, but because they're in Texas and because they're at a Christian camp, they must be MAGA people. Well, they kind of got what they deserved. Government is the problem, not the answer. They got what they deserved. That's just factually trumped up, okay? I use trumped up because of the word used by President Trump a few weeks ago. Thank you very much. That's just totally messed up. That's just bloody wrong. And I want to know if you got the same message I did out of this deplorable cartoon. It absolutely is deplorable. It is vindictive. It is mean-spirited. I haven't heard anybody say that. It's mean-spirited because there was a time when people on various radio stations in Buffalo, with which I have been affiliated, have been called mean-spirited trash talkers. I'm sorry, but isn't this a mean-spirited trash drawing by the cartoonist of the local newspaper? And frankly, I'd also like your thoughts. Do you think the Buffalo News is even going to be around in 5 years as we know it? Because I really don't. I truly do not believe it is going to be around. And frankly, I think that there are some factors beyond the newspaper's control that influence that over the years. I think they were really slow off the mark when it came to the internet, number one. But the most important situation with the local newspaper is at some point, and it was kind of a gradual thing, and then it went hard left. At some point, they totally sold their soul, and they lost all credibility as an objective reporter of news in Western New York. And they became basically, and I don't think this is hyperbole, I don't think this is exaggeration, they became the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party and the Democrat Party of Erie County. And basically told at least 50% of the people in the region that you can go Trump yourself because we don't care about you. We're going to cater to the half of the population that we think wants to hear this and only this, or read this and only this. And that's what they did. And people, look, when my mom canceled the Buffalo News, you have to understand, that was a big deal. She grew up with the paper and the Courier Express when it was in business. That was a big deal. And it was cost, and it was political bias that made her cancel the newspaper. And many of you have canceled the newspaper over the years. And, you know, the question of accountability, which, by the way, the Society of Professional Journalists, transparency and accountability, they're very big on those issues. Where is the accountability at the Buffalo News? Which management team members approved the publication of this particular cartoon? I could see something like this hanging in the men's room as a joke cartoon, not for publication. I could see that. Keep it in-house. But to publish it, to make it public, it's really vile. And I think it's really despicable. We're talking about a natural disaster. And I'm sorry, does a raging floodwater ask you before it takes you away or your child away, hey, for whom did you vote in 2024? Oh, you voted for Biden. I shall spare you. It makes a lot of assumptions, and it's very factually inaccurate. And again, not to beat a dead horse here, but when Thomas Nast was going after Boss Tweed and the Tammany Gang in New York City, he was punching up at power, okay? He was making a point about corruption in New York City. He wasn't going after the people who were the victims of the corruption. He was going after the people who were the causes of the corruption. If you've seen Gangs of New York, remember the guy with the beard, the fat, portly man? Yeah, that was Boss Tweed. 803-0930. He actually, I think he died in prison, a very poor man, if I'm not mistaken. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I'm just glad politics is so much cleaner now than it used to be. Oh, never mind.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, BSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
News Radio 930 WBEN, and it is Bowerly. I'm putting three topics out this hour. Three topics. And if one really takes off, maybe I'll focus in on it next week for a whole show. You never know. So I've got three topics here right now. Then in the final hour, I think we may very well have some fun. Would you like some fun in the 5 o'clock hour? I think so, especially if you're caught in traffic on a hazy, humid day. So a couple of things. Number one. The Erie County Democrats have endorsed Kathy Hochul, unanimously endorsed Kathy Hochul. Now, there's a surprise. And listening to David, the financial guys, Joe Beamer, Mark Poloncarz, of course, comes up an awful lot, or as one of the callers to Joe, I believe, said, the Mark Poloncarz, because he's full of crap. I thought that was kind of funny, actually. But anyway, I have a question for you, because we've talked about this before, and I need to alter what I have said. I'm going to change it and amend it just a little bit, because I have talked about I don't understand voters in New York State, and I don't understand the way they seem to vote against their own personal best interests, financially and otherwise. But you know what I was thinking is I don't understand the voters, but I also don't understand the people who don't vote. The people who, A, could vote, but they're not registered. B, the people who are registered, but simply don't vote. And I decided to do a little bit of research. Imagine that. And I found out, that's how I knew those statistics on first-time Trump voters in various places. I just asked the question, how many first-time voters voted for President Trump? And actually, it varies by geography. Texas, first-time voters, overwhelmingly Trump. Florida, first-time voters, pretty much 50-50. And I'm just wondering, the people who don't vote. Here you are, you're listening to talk radio. So I presume that you have something of an interest in your fellow human creatures, and you have something of an interest in the direction of the area and in your future. And sometimes we talk politics. I like to do it as infrequently as possible, but there are times it simply cannot be avoided. But if you are eligible to vote,
and you're not even registered. Can you please explain that to me? Because I don't get it. And if you listen to the show, you have heard in recent months at least two gentlemen who were very, very intelligent, because they agreed with what I was saying, of course. They were very, very intelligent, and I asked about their voting, and they weren't even registered to vote. And I just, I palmed my face, because, like, how can you have such strong opinions that are reasonable and make sense, and you're not even registered to vote? Then there are the other people who are registered to vote. They took the time to register, and they don't vote. So we've got essentially people who are not exercising their franchise to vote. And even in presidential elections, typically it's little over more than half of registered voters who come out and vote. I don't think that's even counting the eligible people, that is, people who never even bothered to register to vote. But it amazes me that people have such strong political opinions and beliefs that a lot of people, in particular in New York State, are not very happy with the way things are going. But yet, if the people who didn't vote, who could have voted, had come out in statewide elections, things might have been a little bit different. And things are going to be more different at the local level, because you have a greater power at the local level than you do at a statewide level, or certainly a national level, because of the numbers of voters involved. So does the fact that people don't vote just blow you away? Do you have any idea? By the way, before we go any further, full disclosure, I am not registered as a Republican. I'm not registered as a Democrat. I am a non-affiliated voter, okay? Non-affiliated, because nobody would have me. Now, I'm a non-affiliated voter. I do lean in a certain direction. I'm pretty sure you know what that might be. So I wear my MAGA hat. But yeah, I don't belong to any political party. Okay. How could I respect an organization that would accept me as a member? Absolutely. Yeah. Stole that from somebody. But does the fact that people just don't vote blow you away? And what do you say to people who don't vote? And one of the things, I just have a really hard time when people call in and they sound so smart and so engaged and so involved, and they tell me that they didn't vote and they really haven't voted. And I think to myself, wow, you'll take the time to call a radio show, but you won't take the time to vote. Honestly, I don't understand it. So I have to ask you the question. I really do need to ask you the question. Who's the bigger problem? The stupid voters or the stupid people who don't even bother to vote, who might actually swing elections? And I think I might have to amend what I've said for a few years now. I think we have a problem with people who aren't engaged, who don't even vote, who are not even enrolled to vote or registered to vote. That's a big deal. 803, and what would you do to change that? How do you get people to vote? I mean, they've made it easy. You can get a cup of coffee and register to vote, I think. But they've made it so easy for people to register to vote. And guys, my mother was 90 bloody years old, and she was all concerned about being able to get an absentee ballot. So that was one of the things we did. We got her we made arrangements to get her an absentee ballot if she needed it. And as it turned out, she really didn't. But maybe she's still voting. I'm not sure. She died last March. But maybe she still is voting. I'm not sure about that. Maybe somebody's voting for her. But anyway, what do you do? What do you say to people who can't even register to vote? Because it blows me away. It really does, especially when you hear people on the radio who sound so educated and so engaged and so interested in what's going on in the world and in their community and everything like that. And those of you who don't vote, don't you think that your vote makes a difference? One vote really doesn't make a difference generally, but if enough people who are not happy with the way things are going take the time to go out and vote, you might actually have an incredible effect, even statewide. For example, it is often cited on the 1791 Society page, that's Frank Panasek's gig, it's often cited that if every single New York State gun owner had registered and had gone and or had gone to vote because they were already registered in the governor's races, Andrew Cuomo would not have been reelected, and we would not have had Kathy Hochul as governor of New York State. And I think that's a fair point. Why would people stay home? Why would people not vote? It also speaks to the importance of having a high energy, active and involved party apparatus, because in order to win an election, you have to get your people to the polls. Even though digging up bodies in cemeteries is somewhat time consuming, it can be done. What do you do about that? Another issue, people aren't having babies anymore. Should the government use taxpayer-funded incentives to get people to have more children? Would it work if they said to you, we're going to give you a $10,000 check for every kid you squirt out? Would you have more kids? Keep in mind, $10,000 is a drop in the bucket compared to what the kid is going to cost you, but would it actually make you say, I'm glad I'm fertile? And the other thing, too, is I'm getting sick and tired of seeing the ICE agents attacked. You agree or disagree with this statement? If somebody is about to launch a giant rock at the window of an ICE vehicle, the ICE agents inside should be authorized to use deadly physical force. I absolutely believe that to be the case. They should be allowed to use deadly physical force. You ever been hit in the head with a big rock chucked at your head? You know, they can kill you. That is, to me, a strike first situation. And you see how fast people stop throwing rocks after the first couple of people get taken out by ICE. I would love to see that. I mean, I wouldn't love to see it, but I would kind of like to see it. Here is Kevin in... that makes me a sick person, I know. Here is Kevin in Pendleton on WBEN. Hello.
Hey, Tom. How you doing, man? Hey, Tom. I will surprise you with a statement I'm going to make, okay? But there have been both local and state elections that I haven't voted. I didn't vote, okay? And, Tom, I mean, you're a smart guy. Yeah, but really, you bewildered. I'm no longer bewildered into why people don't vote, because we have allowed, and I say we, because our elections are managed by the two major entities, Democrat, Republican, okay, commissioners, and you know, and every board of elections and state, right, and they have allowed the dumbing down so much of our education system that the average individual, you know, simply casting a ballot, you sometimes have to draw a map for them. And if they do vote, unfortunately, they vote based on tribal reasons or ethnic reasons, or they vote, you know, extreme left, extreme right. Just because of what they listen to in mainstream media.
You know, I think the dumbest thing of all, though, is to give away your franchise. And if you are not happy with the way things are going in New York State or Erie County or Niagara County, as the case may be, at least exercise your right to complain. At least vote.
Well, don't be bewildered, Tom. You know why? Because the people who think out of the box, people who don't follow a narrative and use the brain that they have in their head to look at things in a proper perspective, they've all left New York. We no longer have that. They all left New York. So, and for the record, Tom, you know, I'm no longer a Republican, you know. You know, based on the rhinos. And even if I'm a registered conservative now, I now call them pseudo-conservatives because of, you know, I don't need to go into all of that. But the fact is that don't be bewildered. The numbers don't lie. You have the numbers, and you've spoken at length already into why individuals leave New York. And guess what? They're voting with their feet instead of going to the ballot box. And
well,
I tell you,
you know
something,
that,
any outsider.
That is a very, very good point. And the population gains to the state of Florida, for example, California and New York are absolutely hemorrhaging people, and they're losing them in particular to Florida, but also states which have lower taxes, which are more business friendly, and turning, for example, Florida even more red. It's becoming a solidly red state. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
Cheers, buddy.
Actually, in Florida, I know this might sound like pie in the sky stuff in New York State, but the governor there has openly stated his desire to do away with property taxes. Which is kind of a... Can you imagine anybody in New York State? Imagine Kathy Hochul coming out tomorrow and saying, you know what? I don't think property taxes are okay, because even after you pay your mortgage or you pay cash for your home, you really don't own your home. You are beholden to pay your property taxes. That's not home ownership. You're basically renting the land from the government. Nobody in New York would say that. Nobody in so many states would say that. And it's just, it's a very interesting mind space or mindset to have. It is coming up on 426. I've got three things on the agenda, okay? Not that I have an agenda I'm trying to advance, except fine quality radio, at least mediocre. Number one, the biggest problem is it's stupid voters or stupid people who just don't vote. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Number two, people have brought this up. Yesterday we did that show on dogs. The low American birth rate. Should taxpayer dollars be used to fund people to have babies in the United States? Other countries do it. Some have an annual payment. Some have a baby bonus. It's not unheard of. There are precedents for this. Hey, all that money not going to the NGOs. I'm just saying the low birth rate's a real problem. It's going to be a real problem in the future, too. And ICE agents. I'm getting sick and tired of seeing ICE agents in vehicles having giant rocks thrown at the driver's window. I think ICE agents should absolutely be authorized to use deadly physical force if anybody raises a rock and they're going to throw it at the vehicle, because a big rock hitting you in the head can be fatal. That is a reasonable reaction to that, to prevent the missile from being thrown at your head. Can go through the window quite easily. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Can never go wrong with this one. Thank you very much, Tanner. It's Bowerly at News Radio 930 WBEN. Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney time is coming up on 438. I put three things on the agenda. Number one is people who don't vote. You don't vote. Why don't you vote? Do you know people who don't vote? Maybe they're not even registered to vote. My goodness, that's one of the most treasured rights you have as an American. And you're not using it, but yet you complain about your lot in life that has been wrought by the politicians. Number two is the low birth rate in America came up yesterday. It's come up on previous programs as well. Taxpayer-funded subsidies to have more children? What do we care? We're going to be dead in 100 years? Let them deal with it then, right? I'm just saying that's how people think, I believe, about that in some respects. And number three, I'm getting sick and tired of these videos showing ICE agents under siege. In particular, the videos with the big rocks being hurled at the ICE vehicles. I think that the ICE agents ought to be allowed to use deadly physical force against anybody about to throw a rock at their vehicle, because to me, that does represent a serious, reasonable threat to your life. People die all the time from being hit in the head with rocks, okay? And why not? Why don't we see that? Let's see what happens after the first one of these idiots gets taken out by an ICE team member with a bullet to the head just about when they were going to throw a rock at their vehicle, thus putting the ICE agent at risk of death or serious physical injury. I think they're putting up with far too much. This crap has got to be stopped, and it's got to be stopped now. I don't want to see people dead, but I especially don't want to see ICE agents dead from these mobs of cretins who are descending upon them pretty much everywhere, especially in California. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Sometimes you just got to show who's in charge. Sorry, but you do. Frank in Buffalo, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Yeah, good afternoon, Tom. Wonderful day. I have to agree with most of your statements. I think it's a privilege to vote, because I came to this country with my parents in 1959 from Germany and became a citizen in 1979 with the opportunity to vote. I wanted to vote, you know. And your ICE thing, I think they should just deport them when they arrest them, you know, the protesters.
Well, we don't know the legal status of the protesters, but look, you might have the legal right to protest, but you don't have the legal right to obstruct governmental administration. You don't have the legal right to attempt murder by throwing rocks at the driver's window of cars, rocks big enough to kill somebody. And if you're going to throw a rock at somebody's car, I think that you need to get the message. You're going to die before you can even launch.
Didn't they entice, like, they attacked an ICE area in California, 10 of them, 10 clowns there?
Yeah, well, there have been many, many attacks that have been captured on video, and it's got to stop, because sooner or later, an ICE agent is going to be killed, and frankly, I'd rather see one of the bad guys killed than an ICE agent. I know that might sound heartless and cruel, but I'm getting sick of seeing this nonsense. And I cheered when the one guy threw the protester on the ground like a rag doll. Like, yeah, wonder if the Bills can draft him.
It's absurd. I mean, like I said, it's a privilege to vote, and a lot of people complain. A lot of my friends complain, and I go, "Did you vote?" And they go, "No." Then shut up. You know.
I just what I don't understand do people not vote because they think that they won't make a difference? But see, if everybody who doesn't vote or who isn't registered to vote thinks that they won't make a difference, if everybody did actually vote, they would make a difference. And let's just take one issue again. Maybe this has been beaten to death, but if every gun owner in New York State had voted after NY Safe, guess what? We wouldn't have Kathy Hochul as governor right now. Of course, she's been unanimously endorsed by Erie County's Democrat Party. Surprise.
That's just wrong, you know. I mean, I got a new name for her, though. She should call her Kathy Jokel, maybe, you know.
I cannot think of Kathy Hochul in human terms. I can only think of her as a reptilian shape-shifting alien. To me, that's the better explanation.
And then your talk about people, you know, leaving the area. My two daughters probably will never come back to the state, and my wife's going to retire shortly, and I don't know, we're contemplating moving closer to the kids, you know. It's a sad situation here in the state, you know. And
well, what would be, just out of curiosity, people don't, moving is a very stressful thing. It's not undertaken lightly, okay? What would be the reason why you would move?
Closer to the kids instead of flying across the coastline, you know.
And where are your kids?
Well, the one daughter is in New Zealand, and the other is in Oregon.
Okay, so somewhere, I'm trying to think of what would be halfway between those two places. I guess you're going to have your own island somewhere in the Pacific. Maybe Bali would be a good option. I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe Nebraska. I don't know.
New Zealand. Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate the call. There's Frank in Buffalo, 803-0930. Yeah, is anybody else getting sick of seeing the ICE agents attacked viciously and relentlessly and seeing these idiots chuck giant life-threatening rocks at their driver's side windows? To me, ICE agents ought to be authorized to use deadly physical force because their lives are in serious danger. That is a reasonable situation in which to use deadly physical force, okay? Lou in Orchard Park, you're on WBEN. Hello.
How you doing, Mr. Bowerly? I totally agree with you on the ICE situation. Morbidly said, sometimes death is a really good example of what you shouldn't do. And I'd like to spider web off of this a little bit. I want to give you a hypothetical. Let's say you're at the, the Taste of Buffalo this weekend?
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday, and yes.
And you're coming home. And you're at a red light, and you're approached by 7-8 individuals that don't look like they're about to invite you to a house party. It looks like they maybe want to harass you. Maybe even somebody puts a buggy in the front of your car. And when you think it's about to be really unsafe for you, what do? You go?
Well, no, you contemplate the law. You contemplate the law. Number one, unless you are a law enforcement officer, you are under an obligation under Article 35 of the New York State Penal Code. You are under an obligation to retreat. And the law would view your being in your car as a relatively safe place in which to find yourself. That's number one. Number two, a buggy in front of the car. It's better to run over the buggy and damage the car than it is to take a human life or seriously injure somebody with a firearm. If you have the opportunity to escape, you must use the opportunity to escape. Now, if you don't have an opportunity to escape, then you have to reason through, okay, would a reasonable person believe that my life or my wife's life are in danger in this situation? And if you believe a reasonable person would come to that conclusion, then you have to decide if you are willing to use deadly physical force.
Understandable, but it would appear to me that,
Well, you got to know the law. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I pretty much know Article 35 inside and out. That is the defense of justification when you can use deadly physical force and physical force. And I'm just telling you the way it is. There was a story about 30 years ago over by Maine and Transit, where a gentleman was inside his vehicle and he did use deadly physical force against another driver, and he ended up getting 25 years to life.
Oh, that was
I'm not going to use names, but, well, it was a road rage situation. I think there was a collision involved, and
you have a safe way out there. You call the cops and then you have an insurance investigation over an accident.
But the cops were not going to arrive in time for that particular altercation to be altered. I wasn't there, and I'm talking about something that happened maybe 30 years ago, but you have to reason. Would a reasonable person believe that his life was in danger? And you also have to consider, did the person have an opportunity to escape, and was the inside of his vehicle a truly safe place? Are some of the concerns that I think would be brought up.
Something else I just thought of also. On these Brinks trucks, there's little square holes on the sides of them in different areas. And you know what those are for. You just can't walk up to one of those and knock on the door. You get shot. You're intending to rob one. You're shot. So,
no, you're not going to be shot for that, because they're trained. I mean, you're not going to be shot for that, because you're going to find yourself, if you're the shooter, you're going to find yourself charged, and you're going to find the company and yourself sued. There has to be a reason to use deadly physical force. And in New York State, the reason is because you reasonably believe that your life or that of a third person was in reasonable danger of being snuffed by the person against whom you used deadly physical force. Now, applying this to what we're seeing on video with the ICE agents, look, to me, if somebody is launching softball-size rocks at the driver window when you're stopped, that is a justifiable use of deadly physical force. And I'm sick of seeing the ICE agents attacked by these gangs. I think a few rifle butts to the head might also have a deterrent effect.
Absolutely. All right, well, thank you very much for the ear, and I'll hang up.
All right, thank you very much. Folks, do you not believe that if somebody is going to launch a softball-sized rock at an ICE agent, the driver's side window, that is a reasonable threat to the life of the ICE agent? I think these ICE agents have got to start using deadly physical force. Support them 100%. I'm sick of this. Here is Ray in Amherst on WBEN. Hello, Ray.
Good afternoon, Tom. Let's call this what it is. It's domestic terrorism. Anarchists and domestic terrorism abated by the Communist Democrat Party. The Democrat Party has been taken over by communists using race and gender as a division and hate tool to divide the society. It's absolutely an evil party now, an anti-American party. This is an invasion. It's a migrant invasion, a third world migrant invasion. And this is why the government has got the Marines out now, because you've got domestic terrorists out on the street. And I thoroughly agree with you that deadly physical force should be used on any attacks against ICE agents. What these domestic terrorists don't understand is there's 10,000 more coming. There's going to be 10,000 more ICE agents flooding into the country. And these domestic terrorists are going to go away for 20 years. They caught those six or seven in Texas the other day, and they're still looking for another one. So I agree with you thoroughly. Deadly force should be used, and I think you're going to see it if they keep this up, these domestic terrorists. As a registered Democrat, I no longer vote Democrat, and I thoroughly encourage other working people who are Democrats to not vote Democrat until they change their terrorist sympathizing ways. This is why, the military is being called out. So,
well, state of emergency was declared at the border very early in the Trump administration following the brainless zucchini. One of my topics I presented this hour was, I'm getting sick and tired of seeing ICE agents being attacked by gangs of, and I think Ray has nailed it, terrorists, domestic terrorists. And when I see these softball-sized rocks being hurled at the driver's window of vehicles, I happen to believe that justifies use of deadly physical force before the rock is launched, because a reasonable person would conclude that a threat exists to the life of the ICE agent. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, Tom, these people are going to get a wake-up call, because they're going away for 20 years. and they're gonna ruin their laws. The people that were caught in Texas had anarchy material and communist material in their homes, and it just it's a frightening situation to know that there's American citizens out there who are turning violent and being supported by the leaders in the Democrat Party. So,
right, you know, it's even more frightening. What's even more frightening to me than that is the chameleons who pretend that they're on the side of law and order, but are quietly working with the cabal to subvert the will of the Trump administration. Covert people bother me more than overt people in many ways.
Yeah, you've got people, and they're getting rid of them one at a time. Christy Noem and the rest of them, they're weeding them out. So that's my two cents today. I thoroughly agree with you with deadly force, and I think you're going to see it happen. So keep up the good work, Tom.
All right, thank you very much. I mean, how many videos do we have to watch of ICE agents under siege before somebody says, you know what, at some point, ICE agents are going to be killed, and we can't have that. And in my opinion, ICE needs to basically make a statement. But in order to make that statement, they have to have protection from the higher-ups, in particular from the President of the United States. They've got to make sure, and I think he does, got to make sure that their backs are had, that they're not going to go to prison, they're not going to pay any criminal price for doing what to me is a very reasonable thing. If your kid is driving along, and somebody, I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat, whatever, and somebody is about and stopped, and somebody's about to chuck a rock the size of a softball at the driver's window, would you not think that your kid's life was in danger? Because I would. And use the same principle applied to the ICE agents. They are putting up with so much nonsense. And one of the things, I think they also, by the way, ICE needs to develop better strategy in terms of ingress and egress to sites. You can't send vehicles out piecemeal. My opinion, and I'm sure those of you who are former military probably have better ideas than I, but there should be one lead car and one follow car. It shouldn't be one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. The people in the follow car, those are your shooters. They make sure the way is cleared. Put somebody on the roof with a lot of armor and stuff. But I'm just saying, I'm sick of seeing ICE agents attacked by these anarchists and, like Ray said, domestic terrorists. It is 4:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I would like to have a little fun from 5 until 6. It's been a while. I like to say that for our Canadian listeners. It's been a while since we've done this, but from 5 until 6, even if you're a mom, wouldn't you be highly offended if I spent an hour with stupid dad jokes? Stupid, lame dad jokes. Jokes that actually are quite funny, which are offensive to no one. One example would be the old one. Did you hear about the restaurant on the moon? Great food, no atmosphere. A ghost walks into a bar, says, give me a pitcher of beer and a mop. Ah, or would that be a skeleton? I think it works better with skeleton. You get the idea. 803, that's good for Halloween. Save that for October, would you? 803-0930. Everybody's got some stupid dad jokes. Jokes that aren't offensive to anybody. Mm-hmm. I kind of like offensive jokes, but not on here. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. This is one of Tanner Saunders' favorite topics.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Just, you know, watching videos of these idiots hurling rocks at the ICE vehicles, the big marijuana farm raid in California. I really do want to see the ICE agents authorized to begin using deadly physical force against people about to launch a potentially life-ending rock at their vehicles. And by the way, it's not just the agents inside. You don't know who's inside the vehicles, which have the darkened glass. you could be throwing a rock and end up killing one of your own anarchists. I'm just saying, it's happened before under different circumstances. You can look up the Kansas City Massacre, a crime which took place many years ago, which resulted in just about half a dozen law enforcement people, including an FBI guy, being killed in Kansas City. These machine gunners went to the Kansas City Union Station to try to free a bank robber named Nash, ended up killing him as well. Sometimes I wonder, were they trying to free him, or was he on the list to be taken out? But that generated a lot of heat and is a very infamous crime in American history. And the same thing could repeat itself with one of these rocks if it's thrown and hits one of the people they're trying to rescue. Just saying. It is, but my sympathies are with the ICE agents, and I think they've shown tremendous restraint so far. But it's only a matter of time before a tragedy takes place with one of our people in law enforcement, with these people who have been ginned up to such a hatred and such a belief that people are entitled to be in the United States because they're here. And it is mind-blowing. And somebody called into the financial guys this morning and was talking about the Republicans and these people are in need. Well, being in need is not a qualifying circumstance for you to be legally in the United States. There are a lot of people in the United States who were born here who are in need, okay? And it doesn't operate that way. And a country without borders is not a country. And the fact of the matter is, the last 4 years of White House administration welcomed and basically beckoned millions of illegals to cross the southern border. And it seems very probable to me that the reason for that was to flood the country with people who would vote Democrat forever and ever and ever. Amen. And hopefully they'll all be sent home in due course of time, or they will self-deport. But the ICE agents, I mean, here's a guy, it looks like a guy's holding a handgun in one of these videos in California. But it's only a matter of time before something very bad happens unless ICE just takes control of the situation, takes control of the streets, takes control of the mobs, and basically uses power and uses as much force as is necessary, and basically shows these individuals that law and order will prevail. I'm just saying. It is 12 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Real quick note, let's see. Oh, some of you were very concerned, and I certainly understand why. I was concerned. My brother was playing Dick Bowerly, Buffalo music legend, member of the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame and the Kenmore East Performing Arts Hall of Fame. He was playing a gig last night with All-Star Project at the Aquatic Center in Tonawanda and passed out. Unfortunately, it was right during his solo on Mary Jane's Last Dance by Tom Petty, and woke up, was surrounded by paramedics, and it was dehydration. Dehydration. And with the weather being as it is, probably not prudent to want to do a two-hour gig straight without a break. I think they all realize that now. But it's not unusual for people in bands to go through dehydration. We talked yesterday with Gary Astridge about how grueling it is to be on stage. It isn't easy. I know it looks fun, and it is fun, but it's not easy. You put a lot of energy into that, and then being baked by the sun is not a lot of fun. And the long story is, Dick is okay. But my second question was, how is the guitar he was playing? Because when you collapse when you're holding a guitar, all sorts of bad things can happen to your instrument. And I'm not sure which one he was playing last night. The guitar, as I understand it, is alive and well and was not damaged at all. But my brother Dick is A-okay. He is fine. And I was very happy to hear that, because the first texts I got this morning were, did you hear about Dick? And my heart sank. Like, oh my God, no, don't tell me. But he's okay. He's all alive and well. And if you were there last night, thank you very much for your concern over my brother. Great guitar player. And I'm very happy that he is, he's A-okay and fit as a fiddle. Takes more than that to take out one of us, I'll tell you. It is 14 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. So, the other thing, too, just really quickly, seems like I'm dumping everything on you at once. I'm sorry. But really, really quickly, the EPA, Lee Zeldin, they've come out and they've said chemtrails are not chemtrails. They're actually contrails. And no federal agency has taken there's no information from any federal agency which would indicate any tampering with the weather or any seeding of clouds for nefarious purposes. Well, you know what? with all respect, I have a hard time believing that the people at agencies like Defense Advanced Projects Administration, DARPA, I have a hard time believing that they're going to enlighten EPA as to any dark black op that is going on in the United States or elsewhere. And I'll tell you why I believe that, because why is it that after chemtrails are spotted all over the world, these are replicatable results. How come stuff is in the water that shouldn't be in the water? Things like aluminum and lithium and other contaminants. And why are they in the water over the sites of what people believe to be chemtrails? So I'm going to disbelieve what EPA says now. I think Robert F. Kennedy may also disbelieve it, because the intelligence people and the people who are involved with DARPA and other places of which you've never heard, they're not exactly going to come out and say, yeah, you know what, we're experimenting on the American people with weather modification, and we're seeing if maybe some of the stuff we spray in the air can affect human behavior. So I'm skeptical of the EPA, even in the Trump administration, because I'm skeptical of intelligence agencies. And I wonder how much the administration actually knows about some of these black projects that take place around the country, and whether the cabal, the anti-Trump cabal, is in charge, and they actually got all the information they needed on which to make an informed decision. So I'm going to hold judgment on that, but my skepticism is still there. That never goes away. And it's only there because there's evidence that is that has been repeated over and over again about stuff that is in water that shouldn't be in water after the chemtrails, so-called, are spotted. So EPA says they're a myth. The government is not involved in any weather modification or seeding or anything like that. I don't believe it because I think there is reason to be skeptical. Simple as that. And I really, again, not to beat a dead horse, I just have a hard time believing that some big money, off the books, black project is going to be revealed by DARPA or Intel to EPA. They probably get something from EPA and laugh and wipe their bodies with it. It is 17 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Conspiracy theory much? Uh-huh. But the thing is, so many conspiracy theories turn out to be conspiracy facts. I can't help myself. Like CIA had contact with Oswald before the assassination? Gee, I'm sure the Warren Commission knew nothing about that. Anyway, at this point on News Radio 930 WBEN, would you like to have a little bit of fun? I like fun. Fun? I like fun. Fun, wow. Remember the old amusement park ad? So, do you have any dad jokes? I love dad jokes. And here's the beautiful part about it. You can call in. You're going to get on pretty quickly, and if you're on hold, you're not going to have to be on hold interminably, okay? Because these jokes are generally pretty quick and pretty fast and right to the point. Now, define a dad joke. You can be a female and have a dad joke. We could call them mom jokes, too. How about mom and dad jokes? And I have cited two examples previously, which I shall cite again to give you two examples, actually. For example, hey, kid, did you hear about the restaurant on the moon?
No, I didn't.
Great food, no atmosphere. Eh. And a joke that you can remember for Halloween. So a skeleton, works better with skeleton. A skeleton walks into a bar, says, give me a pitcher of beer and a mop. Think about that. I got it right away. My friend Rini told that last Halloween. But jokes like that you can tell, that are actually pretty funny. And they're funny to me as a guy who is somewhat more risque with his sense of humor. I have a very black sense of humor, and the black sense of humor has actually gotten me through some very, very difficult times. Shakespeare wrote that misery makes sport to mock itself, and I go along with that theory. What dad or mom jokes do you have? You want to tell us? Because, and you can tell a few. That's fine by me, because they're generally very, very fast jokes. I want you to make people laugh. I want you to bring your A game. I'm not looking for Mitch Hedberg stuff. I'm looking for your stuff, your dad jokes, your mom jokes that are funny. And I've never done a show on this where we didn't get some new, fresh, awesome material that I might have stolen it from time to time. You never know. I've appropriated things from time to time. 803-0930 is the phone number. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Your dad jokes or mom jokes. Yes, you needn't be a father to call in on this. You can be a mom, or you can just be a big brother with a funny joke to tell that you actually could tell your 8-year-old sister and not get into trouble. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I think the world needs a little more laughter, don't you? And you're the one to provide it. You know, just saying. Let's go to Steve on a cell phone doing dad jokes on WBEN, which may be bad jokes. I don't know. Here, I enjoy them. Steve on WBEN, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Tom?
Excellent.
So what did the shepherd say to his dog?
I don't know.
Let's get the flock out of here. Had to enunciate that one. Don't want FCC on you. You have a great day, sir.
Well enunciated, sir. I thank you very much. Let's get the flock out of here. All right. Of course, a little kid might not understand that, but I think most of us got it loud and clear. Your dad jokes, your mom jokes. Come on, guys. I want to have some fun today. I want to leave you smiling for the week. I know you've got it in you, and I'm not going to keep you on hold forever. It's going to be wham, bam. Thank you, Tom. Been there, done that. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN, the phone number to call. Dad jokes, mom jokes, leave them laughing. You can actually tell more than one, because usually they're very, very fast, like that last guy. So, what, are you guys out of material? You guys out of material right now? What? What's going on here? What, summertime? You eating ice cream? You took off today? You're already drunk? Seriously? It's Friday. I came to a conclusion today, by the way. Came to a conclusion. Speaking with the princess, we have decided that everybody in Buffalo in July takes every Friday off. July and August, every Friday. To have that short week and long weekends of valued and treasured golden summer in Western New York. Especially if you're trying to reach your lawyer. Let's go to Pat on WBEN. Pat, you got a mom joke or a dad joke? You're on WBEN. Welcome.
Thank you. I got a mom joke.
All right.
All right. This wonderful mom has a four-year-old boy. And this kid loves pirates, coloring books, comic books, TV shows and movies, anything to do with comics and pirates. So on Halloween, after the mother buys this boy a beautiful pirate costume, he dons his costume and goes to the house next door where there's an elderly woman. This woman is standing at the doorway looking down at the four-year-old boy and says, "Oh my goodness, a little pirate, how cute. Where are your bucking ears?"
Oh, he says, okay. I don't like where this is going. I don't like where this is going. I can't lie.
Well,
okay, what, give me the punchline.
Nothing bad. Anyway, he says, "It's around my bucking head, just like everybody else."
All right. Thank you very much. And that's why I wasn't sure. I knew where that was going, and I just had to be very, very careful, as you well imagine. Remember, some things can be said by the president, but a lowly radio man, a two-bit radio guy in Buffalo, would have the devil to pay. Like the Union Army at Gettysburg on the first day, according to... never mind. It is 25 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Let's sneak in Lisa, shall we, on Grand Island. Lisa, I'm looking for lame parent jokes, dad jokes, mom jokes. Go ahead.
Okay, well, we were eating dinner the other night, you know, chicken peas and macaroni and cheese. And I have a 16-year-old, and she's constantly dropping food on herself. And she dropped her vegetable, and it smeared on her lap. And I go, "Oh, my God, you just peed yourself." We were all cracking up. That's it. Just a
mom. So there's just a one-line comment on that was extemporaneous humor, a one-line quip.
Yeah. And it made her laugh, and that's what I wanted.
If you can make a teenager laugh, that shows great parenting skills. Just so you know, a teenager will do anything to stifle a laugh for anything a parent says. Thank you, Lisa. Let me squeeze one more person in here so I don't leave somebody on hold. Tracy in Clarence on WBEN. How nice of me getting you on before the news break. What's on your mind? You got a joke for us, a mom or a dad joke?
Nope, it's a mom joke. How come lobsters don't share?
I don't know.
Because they're shellfish.
I love it. I love that one. Oftentimes, if the princess and I are eating clams and she has more than her fair share, I will tell her she's being shellfish.
There you go. But that's Thank all you. I got.
Oh, it's awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much. Don't be shellfish. It is coming up on 27 minutes after 5. And she eats bacon, too, amazingly. It's 27 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Bauer Lee. Welcome to the show. Having a little bit of fun here the last hour on a Friday. And it's always good coming in and following Joe Beamer, and today following the financial guys as well, in for David Bellavia, doing a great job sitting in for David. It is time 3 minutes away from news on News Radio 930 WBEN. Don't go anywhere.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Awesome. Hey, we're doing some kid-friendly jokes that dads and moms, that would be you, have told. And sometimes they're not even jokes. Sometimes they're statements like, how come kamikaze pilots wore helmets? Why don't eggs tell jokes? Because they'd crack each other up. What do you call a fish? Well, that's a written joke. I'm sorry. What do you call cheese that isn't yours? Nacho cheese. One more. Why can't your nose be 12 inches long? Because then it would be a foot. I love dad jokes. They're actually quite awesome. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Yeah, we do a little bit of everything for you here on the Bauer Lee program, but it's never better than just mediocre. I do want to thank Talkers for ranking me the number 58 most important radio talk show host in America, part of the Heavy 100 list. It is actually a great honor, but I'm not really into trophies and stuff. My trophy is you and your listening. Here's Jeff in Cheektowaga. You're on WBEN. Welcome.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
It's Friday, recently, and it's almost quitting time, dude. How do you think I'm doing?
I hear you. So recently, on a visit to Buffalo, the Dalai Lama walked into Ted's and walked up to the counter, said, "Make me one with everything."
Okay. Is that something you heard, or did you make that up?
Kind of both.
That is really, really awesome. It would also work with Paramahansa Yogananda, the Indian mystic. Make me one with everything.
Probably better, actually. But yeah.
Well, but no, everybody knows or should know the Dalai Lama, but very few people would remember Yogananda unless they've studied Eastern mysticism.
True.
Autobiography of a Yogi, his classic work. Anything else from you, sir?
I don't have anything else.
Outstanding. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Your dad jokes, your mom jokes. These are jokes that you can tell the kids and not worry that they're going to go home and say, "My dad told me a bad joke." That might be bad, but not filthy. Here's Ricky in West Seneca. Ricky, don't lose that number. You're on WBEN. Hello.
Good afternoon, Tom.
Hey, Ricky, I have a question for you. I have a question for you, sir. Do you know why the bicycle fell over?
I'd be stumped.
It was too tired.
Naturally.
Yes. Sorry. I'm just giving you back your own medicine. You got one for us or maybe a couple for us?
I do. I do. And this one's actually a true story. What does the Pirates announcer say when the team hits a home run?
What did the Pirates announcer say when the team hits a home run? I must confess an absence of a cogent thought.
Clear the deck. Cannonball coming.
Okay. Trying to work that all together in my mind. Did you have another one?
That's all. That is all, my friend.
All righty, then. Clear
have
the
a nice
deck.
Weekend.
All right. Thank you very much. 803-0930 is the phone number. Star 930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. Let me give you some more here. Try to stimulate you a little bit. You mind being stimulated by me? Sounds rather erotic. Why did the golfer bring two pairs of pants? In case he got a hole in one. What do you call a factory that makes good products? A satisfactory. Oh. Okay, here's one. Do you know what one wall said to the other wall? I'll meet you at the corner. Okay, these are awesome jokes. I'm sorry. I love Mitch Hedberg. I love Stephen Wright. I love George Carlin. But there's something that is just so awesome about these corny jokes. I still enjoy them. What's wrong with me? 803-0930. Where do you start? 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Another one along those same lines, by the way. What did the floor say to the wall? Stop cornering me. Oh, my goodness. What did the shy bookshelf say at the party? I'll just hang out in the corner and read the room. I don't get that one. That's kind of lame. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Should I go back to killing people in ice and stuff like that? Your dad jokes, your mom jokes, and again, Queen of Heaven, Union Road had that water main break yesterday, which I suspect is why Joe Beamer saw people at the airport leaving the bathrooms and knew they weren't washing their hands. It's a bloody mess. So if you're coming from certain areas and you're going to Queen of Heaven, you got to avoid Union Road because you're going to get hit with some detours. So there are certainly ways around it. I should give them to you, but you can look that up yourself. And a number of great things going on this weekend in Western New York. There's Taste of Buffalo, and I hope everybody leaves their dogs at home. And I once again would like to commend the people in charge of Taste of Buffalo because, A, they do a phenomenal event. They really do. And I know one of the guys who's one of the big organizers of it, they put their heart and soul into Taste of Buffalo, but they make it very clear they strongly suggest dogs are left at home because they love dogs. And if you can't be away from your dog for that long, I would suggest you just stay home. I'm not trying to be mean and nasty, but it's unfair to the dog to bring the dog to a festival like Taste of Buffalo. The pavement's going to be hot. It's going to be sunny. It's going to be humid. And it's just not a good environment for a dog. How would you feel if all you were looking at was butts, crotches, and legs? Reminds me of my last vacation. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Okay, what did the triangle say to the square? You're just going around making 90-degree assumptions. That's a little intellectual for a child, I think. Got to know algebra for these jokes, trigonometry, geometry. Never could get the triangles right. Here is, I always wanted to get a triangle scholarship, though, to Harvard. I play the triangle. You're in. Free ride. Carl in Tonawanda on WBEN. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
I am wondering where my comedians are today, to be honest with you, Carl. You've got a joke for us, a dad joke?
I got two.
Excellent.
First one is, what do you call a line of rabbits walking backwards?
A line of rabbits walking backwards. I don't know.
A receding hairline.
Oh. Yep. In fact, in Western New York, a lot of the things that people call rabbits technically are hares. Yep.
And the other one is, what do you get when you see the Pillsbury Doughboy bend over?
What do you get when you see the Pillsbury Doughboy bend over? There are so many things I could say that would be so inappropriate for this venue and this radio station, but what do you see?
Donuts.
Again, Carl, reminds me of my last vacation. Thank you very much. I appreciate hearing from you.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Wait, hold on. I got one for you. Yeah. Why was the broom always in the corner?
No idea.
Because it swept everyone off their feet.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Hey, it was
great
to chat with you. First
my pleasure.
Caller.
My good and great pleasure. First-time caller. Outstanding. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I told you guys, quick, painless, fun, and easy. April in beautiful Springville. April, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Welcome. Well, thank you. How do you tell the difference between a dad joke and a regular joke?
I think this might actually blow up in my face, but what is it?
It's a parent.
Why didn't I see that coming? I could have guessed that one. Like the shellfish one. Come on, you're killing me.
Right. Okay, and then why was the door so upset?
Boy, I should probably know this one. Why was the door so upset?
It was in a jam.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, here's one for you. This reminds me actually of Mitch Hedberg or Stephen Wright. I only know 25 letters of the alphabet. I don't know why.
Get out of here.
Yep. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Have a great night.
Oh, absolutely. It's already off to a magnificent start. We're doing corny, stupid dad and mom jokes. These are innocuous jokes you can tell anyone, anywhere, and not get into trouble. Okay. What do you call a fake noodle? An impasta. Barry in Williamsville on WBEN. Hello.
Yes. Hello, Tom. I've got two quick ones for you. How high should the milk be if you take a milk bath?
Wow. You guys are giving me such ammunition I could use for nefarious and evil purposes and get myself into major trouble, but how do you know the answer to that question?
Just pasteurize.
Oh, I should know that one. I should have gotten that one.
And I've got an even better one. Did you hear about the two peanuts that were walking in Central Park?
I did not.
One was assaulted.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay, I've got one for you, sir.
Sure.
Do you know why the math book looked so sad?
Because it couldn't subtract?
It had too many problems.
I like it. That's great.
Yeah, I love that one, actually. That's very clever. Thank you very much. Especially for people who weren't very good at math, like your humble host. Not very good at math. But it's always been a mystery to me. How come I sucked at math, but statistics was easy, and I loved statistics? I can't figure that one out, really. There's so many black holes in my existence, I can't tell you. Things that I'm really dumb at doing, but then more advanced things that for some reason I have an aptitude for doing? Weird. You probably are alike in that way, aren't we? Let's go to Mark in Williamsville. Corny, stupid dad jokes. Hello, Mark.
Hey, how you doing? I got two of them for you.
Oh, okay. Well, look, I used to be addicted to Hokey Pokey, but then I turned myself around.
Nice.
Remember when the guy who invented the Hokey Pokey died? And we're talking about what they were singing at his grave? Put your right foot in. Anyway, go ahead, sir. Sorry.
Nice. All right. Where did Captain Hook get his hook?
Oh, I know this one. I really know this one. I should know this one, but the one I know is a little bit obscene. Where did Captain Hook get his hook?
A secondhand store.
Oh. Hey, just totally off the subject. Remember Dr. Hook?
Yeah.
The musician and cover of the Rolling Stone. Oh, great song. And a few other big hits. You've got another joke for us.
I do. Why couldn't the pepper participate in archery?
Why couldn't the pepper take part in archery?
No, have an arrow.
Oh, okay, that took me a second to get that one. I've got one for you, and be very careful with your answer to this one. This could go sideways, but it won't. What is brown and sticky? Don't say what you're thinking.
Brown and sticky. What's brown? I can't think what I'm saying.
Yeah, I had the same issue.
I'm going to retreat and say...
I will tell you, sir. I will ease the agony. Right. I'll tell you what's brown and sticky. A stick. Let me give you a chance to redeem yourself. You know why skeletons... Apparently I'm big on skeletons. Why don't skeletons fight each other? They don't have the guts.
I don't have the guts. I like that one.
All right. Thank you very much. My friend Jay Shapiro was wearing a shirt the other night with a leg bone on it. And the writing on the shirt says, I found this humorous. Actually, it was an arm bone. I beg your pardon. Get my anatomy correct. Anyway, I love these jokes. I'm not going to lie. This is one of my favorite topics. All right, stupid, corny dad jokes. And I've mentioned Mitch Hedberg a few times on the program today. I fell in love with Mitch Hedberg when I heard him do an escalator can never be broken. It can only become stairs. Thanks for the convenience. When he did that bit, I just fell in love with him. Here is Mike. Unfortunately, Mitch is no longer with us. Wheatfield. On WBEN, hello. My mouse is clearly possessed by demons here. This is awkward. Mike, welcome to the show. You're on WBEN. I've got a demonic mouse, which is better than having a missing gerbil. Go ahead.
What are the strongest days of the week?
The strongest days of the week? I don't know.
Saturday and Sunday. The rest are weekdays.
Cute. Very cute. Anything else?
No, that's all.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
I just want you to know, Mike, that I happen to be reading a book on anti-gravity. It's impossible to put it down.
Well, that's a good one.
Yep. Thank you very much. I thought you might appreciate that, and perhaps the people at DARPA as well. Here's Mario on WBEN. Hello, Mario.
Hey, I like the gravity one. I'll steal that. But I did hear on the news that the company that makes yardsticks will not be making them any longer.
Why would that be, sir?
They're yardsticks. They won't be making them any longer.
You know what? I'm so used to the format of being asked a question that I neglected to catch the humorous part of that. Okay, they won't be making them any longer. I wonder if you'd said rulers if I would have gotten it any faster. Yeah, well, I'm a little slow in the uptake.
Well, that's okay, because you do realize that math is very difficult for 4 out of 3 people.
You're a joker, man. And I mean that with love. Thank you, Mario. Appreciate it. Let's go to Mark in NT. Mark in North Tonawanda, getting ready for Canal Fest, no doubt. What's on your mind? You got a joke for us?
Yeah, I got a couple quick ones for you. My father the other day, talking about a dad joke, he says to me, "Man, I'm really getting old now." I said, "What makes you say that?" He goes, "The other day, somebody complimented me on my alligator shoes." I said, "What's wrong with that?" He goes, "I was walking barefoot."
Nice, nice.
He says, "You got to understand, son, when I was growing up, the Dead Sea was only sick. I'm getting old."
Oh, man. It's like Joe Pesci in Goodfellas. I bet Pike's Peak was a pimple back then. What are the last words he said?
It was good, brother. Very good. Yeah. Love you.
Hey, you know why the tomato turned red?
Why is that?
It saw the salad dressing. You know why the cookie went to the doctor?
Why is that?
It felt crummy.
Oh, my God. I went to the doctor. I said, doctor, every time I look in the mirror, I get sick. I said, what's wrong? He said, I don't know, but your eyesight is perfect.
Anything else from you, sir? Great call, by the way.
No, I'm good. Thanks,
buddy. All right, we're through. All right, let's get back to the calls. See why I love this show so much? It's just so awesome. It's so awesome. Here's Pat on WBEN. Pat, you've got a joke? Go.
Yeah, hi. What did the dung beetle say when it crawled into the tavern?
What did the what say when it crawled into the tavern?
The dung beetle.
Oh, the dung beetle.
Yeah.
Everyday thing. Okay. What does it say?
It says, "Can you spare a stool?"
Jeez. Oh, man. All right. Thank you very much. We suddenly go to the excremental. One more. I got to squeeze this in. I told people I wouldn't put them on hold forever. Tom on WBEN, go.
I'm going to be as quick as I can be. What did Saddam Hussein and Little Miss Muffet have in common?
What?
They both had curds in their way.
Jeez. Okay, a kid would not get that. I did. Tom, I thank you very much.
I didn't know if the screener got it.
No, it's all good, man. It's all good. Kurds, the Iraq situation, the population, you can look it up. Hey, thank you very much for everything all week long. Loving the new time slot. Loving the fact Joe Beamer has his own show now, which is really cool. 1 until 3, and I'm on 3 until 6. Demotion? Hardly. Are you serious? You can't be serious. Anyway, now I'm loving it. So thank you very much for the calls. Coming up, it's Tom Puckett with Buffalo's Evening News from 6 until 7. And hopefully you're enjoying the kind of new News Radio 930 WBEN. Have yourself a magnificent weekend. And I know you're hearing this from everybody, but stay hydrated, because it's so easy. It's so easy to get dehydrated and run out of water and end up in the hospital. You don't want to do that. So be well. Thanks to Tanner Saunders for a job well done on News Radio 930 WBEN.